Thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online again this week. Hey, turn to James chapter 2. We're going to be looking there today as we continue our sermon series More, as we're looking at More in 24. It's meme time, so I want to share with you as you're going to that passage of Scripture, I want to share with you some memes that I found that either I relate to, I find funny, or I think maybe you'll relate to them at least. And I came across this one for this time of year. I love it. It says, I'm glad that I learned about parallelograms in high school math instead of how to do my taxes. It comes in so handy during parallelogram season. I like this one too. I can relate to the file box at least in some ways, but some of you may find this definitely something that relates to you. This is, the person says, me at night choosing what's going to keep me up until 3 a.m. I love it. They have all the different social media and various things on there. That's what a lot of people have to choose. It takes forever to choose too, doesn't it? Anyway, well, this week, this Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So, you know, guys, if you didn't remember it, hey, you still got time. So get yourself ready. You got time to get things together. But I came across this meme. It's the comic strip that I love. The husband says, I wrote a little poem for Valentine's Day. Do you want to hear it? The wife says, do I have a choice? And the husband said, no. It goes this way. Roses are red. I like spaghetti, especially with meatballs. When will it be ready? Not sure that went over well. Might not want to use that one. Speaking of Valentine's Day, and you know, a lot of men buy flowers for their wife, I came across this one, and I couldn't help but share it. Never buy flowers from a monk. Only you can prevent florist friars. Had to do it. And then this one I think is funny. Beware of Valentine scams out there. I ordered my wife some jewelry, and they sent me a new fishing rod. Anyway, James chapter 2, let's look at verse 17. We're going to really focus in on verse 17 of James chapter 2. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for this incredible word from you. Lord, we've been talking about faith and how to have more faith this year, how to increase our faith and how to make our faith be active in our life. But Lord, it takes more than just thought. It takes action. So help us today to be doers, Lord, to do more. And so, Lord, just speak to our spirits today. Challenge us to be to do more in 24. And Lord, just speak through this mouthpiece today. We give you the praise and the glory and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's a simple fact that sometimes life feels good and sometimes it doesn't. And it pretty much goes without saying that life is better when it feels good. I mean, when your relationships are working, when the money is coming in on time, when the bills are getting paid, when your health is good and your kids are behaving, your employees are doing their job. I mean, life feels pretty good at these moments, right? But as we talked about last week, there are times when this just doesn't happen. I mean, there are times when vacancies are created in your life, needs that aren't immediately met and problems that just aren't immediately solved. These situations are a divine invitation, though, for you to put your faith into action. They are God-ordained opportunities to experience God's overcoming power in your life. Listen, God does not respond to your needs, and he doesn't respond to your wants. He responds to your faith. He cares about your needs and he wants to meet them, but it's really your faith that moves him to action. See, he cares about your wants as well. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But again, it's your faith that opens up the hand of God to bless you. And so for this reason, you can really only go as far in life as your faith is strong enough to take you. And this is what we saw last week in the first message in this new series of messages I've entitled More, because this is a series about faith, how to tap into its potential. And what we're going to see in this particular series is that faith is the key that unlocks the power of God in your life. Now, we saw last week that faith begins with an attitude of expectancy, that we can expect more in 2024. I'm talking about choosing to expect God's best in every situation. Now, the key word here really is choosing, because faith is a choice that you make. But that's not all it is. I mean, there's much more to faith than just working up a positive mental attitude. Now, when I first began exploring the concept of how faith works, I had the idea that faith would be a very strong feeling in my heart and in my spirit, that it would manifest itself in kind of with a sense of certainty that would be devoid of any sentiments of doubt whatsoever. I thought that when I became a person of great faith that, you know, I could pray for specific miracle at times and I would just know. I mean, I would feel that God was about to do something great. But here's the problem. I had the idea that faith is a feeling, that faith resides in your gut, and that if you feel right, then you've got faith. If you don't feel right, you don't have enough faith. And when I would pray, I would just try to work up these feelings, and sometimes I was able to do it, and sometimes I wasn't. Now, see, when my prayers weren't answered in the right way, I would think, you know, I just must not have felt it enough, you know? I just must not have just felt that enough. I was going about it all wrong, though. You see, I want you to understand that faith is not something you feel. Faith is something you decide. It's something you do. I mean, it's a choice that you make to think a certain way and then to act a certain way. In fact, I like this meme. It says, don't ask God to guide your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. That's what faith is. When you want to engage your faith, it's not about engaging your feelings. It's about engaging your thoughts and engaging your actions. And that's why last week we talked about how faith begins with an attitude of expectancy. Now this week we're going to look at how that you express your faith through what you do. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote these words again in James chapter 2, verse 17. He said, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, a few verses later, in verse 26, he says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, the word works means corresponding actions, okay? He's talking about corresponding actions. So faith without corresponding actions is dead. He doesn't say that faith without corresponding feelings is dead. He doesn't say that faith without an emotional rush is dead. He says that faith without works or without corresponding actions is dead. And so if you want to ignite your faith, you got to back it up with what you do. You back it up with what you're doing. And so today I want to talk to you about really three ways that you can begin to put your faith into action and do more in 2024. First of all, the first thing that we notice is you have to take actions that are consistent with what you're asking for. In fact, I know a guy who was facing some serious health issues to the point that his life really was at risk. And he and his family and his friends, the entire church was praying that God would miraculously intervene and heal him. Now, one reason why he was so sick was that he had a number of bad lifestyle habits that weren't, you know, conducive to good health. He was sedentary, he was overweight, and he lived on pork and refined sugar, among other things. And when the doctor told him that he just needed to clean up his act, he resisted doing so. His family said to him, Dad, you got to start taking better care of yourself. You got to get rid of some of these bad habits that you have. You got to start eating right. He said, if God gets me through this, I promise that I'll get serious about my health. His daughter said to him, Dad, God won't heal you until you get serious about your health. He said this, but what's the point in giving up the food that I like if I'm just gonna die anyway? You see, with his words, he was asking God for a miracle, but through his actions, he wasn't asking for really anything at all. And I'll tell you what this guy did. He decided to start doing what, right now anyway, what he would be doing later if his health got better. He gave up bacon and donuts and things like that, and he started taking walks every day. You know, for years he had been sleeping in a recliner chair with the TV blaring all night, but now he began to sleep in a bed. He started living today as he would be living if he got his health back. And you know what? He began feeling better than he had felt in years. You see, his turnaround was really too dramatic to be anything less than miraculous. He wasn't able to do it on his own, though. He was relying on the power of God to restore his health, and his corresponding actions increased the power of his faith. You know, there are things that you are believing for God to accomplish in your life. You need to ask yourself, though, which actions can I take that are consistent with what I'm asking God to do? I mean, we have a tendency to say, you know, when and if God solves the problem, then I'll get serious about doing right. You know, when and if God heals my marriage, then I'll be a better husband. When and if God gives me a better paying job, then I'll be a harder working employee. When and if God resolves my financial problems, I'll start being more generous. And when and if God heals my body, I'll start taking care of myself. But we need to understand that there will not be a when unless we start taking action now. Actions that are consistent with what we're asking God to do. So don't let your circumstances define you. Step out in faith anyway. Take action. Do more. I'm telling you, do you want to ignite your faith? Then start taking steps now that are consistent with what you are trusting God to do. I mean, if we really believe something, then we're going to follow through and we're going to act upon it. Now, here's the second thing. Number two, take actions even when you aren't sure of the end result. Frederick Buchner said this. He said, faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. Now, remember the guy I mentioned just a few minutes ago? He started taking steps to improve his health, even though he wasn't sure that he would get better. Now, frankly, there was a chance that he would give up bacon and die anyway. But he decided that it was a chance that he would take, even though he had no guarantees. You know, very few things in life come with a guarantee. One of the ways that we express faith is to take action, even when we don't have certainty about how things will turn out. In fact, I would say this, faith is taking action and waiting on God for the results, even when we don't know the outcome. In fact, I'm reminded a couple of weeks ago during the service here at CT, I felt God tell me to pray for one of the people at the service, Brian Hart. Now, I called Brian up here, and I could tell that Brian was ready to take action. You know, after service, Brian told me how that the previous Sunday, when he got home from church, there were two teenage girls that were putting something in his mailbox. Well, when his wife, Chrissy, went out to the mailbox, she found that they had left a handwritten note that said, God's plan is worth the wait, Isaiah 30:18. Which Isaiah 30:18 reads this way, the Lord God is waiting to show how kind he is and have pity on you. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust him. Brian said that he doesn't know the end result, but these things just really lifted his and Chrissy's spirits. You know, very few things in life come with a guarantee. One of the ways that we express faith is to take action even when we don't have certainty about how things are going to turn out. You know, Pastor Paul Valley tells a story about the time when, as a young youth pastor, he loaded up a bus of teenagers for an 11-hour ride to a youth retreat in British Columbia. Well, one girl in the group had said that she would not be going because she was prone to migraine headaches, especially when riding long distances in a vehicle. Well, her friends begged her to come, and eventually she changed her mind, and so she decided to attend the retreat after all. Well, after 3 hours on the bus ride, sure enough, this girl began to experience a terrible migraine. Now, normally, once the attack started, there was no relief, and she would be in agony for the next 3 days. Well, Pastor Valley responded by calling the group together to prayer, asking for God's intervention on this girl's behalf. Well, about 30 minutes later, she lifted up her head, her eyes were clear, and her migraine had stopped. This is incredible, she said. This never happens. I have never gotten relief until it's run its full course, you know, over about 3 days. Even more remarkable is that as the following months and years went by, this girl never had a migraine again. God healed her permanently that day on the bus. Do you realize what a risk, though, that this young lady took? She went on this trip not knowing exactly what would happen, but trusting that God would help her to get through. And she went on this trip willing to deal with the misery of a migraine if necessary. She decided that it was worth the risk taking. You know, I'm not going to tell you that every time that you take a calculated risk, it's going to pay off in your favor. I mean, that's not how life works. Sometimes we don't get the results we want. And if faith was like a rigged slot machine that pays off 100% of the time, it wouldn't be faith. But faith means taking action in spite of the risk involved. Let me say that again. Faith means taking action in spite of the risk involved. You know, that young girl was healed of her migraines during the retreat. But what if she hadn't been healed of them migraines? What if she had to suffer discomfort for a couple of days after they got there? I mean, it could have happened. It was a chance she was willing to take, though. You see, there have been times when, in my life, when I've had to take action and take a risk. And there are going to be times when you take action, when you step out in faith, and there's going to be times when you don't get the results you want. There are going to be times when you step out in faith, and it hurts just a little bit. There are going to be times when God comes through right away, and there are going to be times when, for his reasons, his response is delayed for you. You still need to take that step, though. Even when you don't know what will happen, even when you don't know how long it's going to take, even when there's a good chance that you might have to suffer a little bit in the process. You know, we demonstrate our faith when we're willing to step into uncertainty and endure the necessary hardship. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see about expressing your faith through what you do. And that is number three, take actions even when you don't feel like it. I have a good friend, Pastor Jim Boone. He's actually the director of the Bridge House Ministry here in the St. Charles area, St. Peter's area. It's a ministry that helps people who were addicts to have a place to live while they're getting their life back together. And we support them financially here at CT. You know, like myself, though, Jim is an avid bicyclist. And so we meet up and we go on these bike rides together every so often. And I remember the last time that I did a bike ride with Jim, Jim said to me, he said, "You know, I really don't feel like doing a bike ride today." I said, "You know, I feel the same way. And I'm just so tired today that I'm really just having a tough time wanting to ride today. I mean, why in the world are we doing it?" And he looked at me and he said, "You know, I think it's because we've got this crazy idea that it will eventually do us some good." And you know what? He's right. It is doing us some good. It is. It's doing me a lot of good, mainly because I'm willing to ride even when I don't feel like it. I mean, some days I feel like it's not doing me any good at all, that, you know, that I'm just wasting my time trying to get healthy doing these bike rides. But if I rode my bike only when I felt like it, I would miss a lot of exercise and I would miss a lot of results from it. You know, there are going to be times when you step out in faith and you catch yourself thinking, "What's the use? I mean, this isn't fun. This isn't easy. This doesn't feel good." I mean, there are going to be times when you say, "I'm trusting God to save my marriage, but I don't feel like being nice to my wife today." Or, "I'm trusting God to create a bond between my children and I, but today I just feel like yelling at them." Or, "I'm trusting God to heal my finances, but today I don't want to save. I don't want to tithe. I just want to splurge." There are going to be times when you just don't feel like taking that step of faith, following through on corresponding actions. Here's what I believe about it, though. I believe that God is pleased with all the steps of faith that we take. But those steps that we take in the face of uncertainty and fear, that it gets us a little extra mileage, you might say. And those steps that we take in the face of discouragement or frustration or just plain stubborn resistance, they get us a lot of extra mileage. God is especially pleased when we choose to live by faith and not by feelings. He's pleased when we choose to do what's right rather than what is just merely convenient. He's pleased when we trust him regardless of how we feel. To trust God is the highest honor that we can give him. And you know what? It's as if we set a crown upon his head because we're trusting him. So in closing, faith is not something you feel. It's something you decide, and it's something you do. Now, if you want to see God work great things in your life, I encourage you to decide now to adopt an attitude of expectation in his goodness, in his mercy, in his willingness to pour down blessings in your life. Decide now that this is what you will expect, that this is what you're going to trust God to bring about in your life. And then begin to do things that are consistent with what you're asking for. Make decisions as if God has already healed you, he's already blessed you, changed your marriage, and on and on and on. You know, continue to follow the path of those decisions, even when the outcome is iffy, even when the road gets bumpy. And press on when you don't feel like pressing on. Don't let discouragement or laziness stop you from missing out on all that God has for you. You see, faith is not something you feel. So you don't have to worry about whether your feelings are strong or are weak or sure or unsure. Listen, your faith isn't expressed in feelings. It's expressed in actions. Faith is something you decide and something you do. So let's decide to put our faith into action today. It really all comes down to trusting God and then obeying him through our actions. That's how we do more in 24. We just begin to trust God and we begin to follow through with our actions and obeying him. I believe God wants us to do more, and he's going to do more as we do more for him and as we trust him, as our faith continues to grow. And you know, today, maybe you've never opened your heart or life to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today that God loves you so much that he willingly allowed his son Jesus to come to this earth to take your place, my place, the place of everyone on this planet, to die on the cross so that the price for our sins would be paid. He's paid the price for all the sins of all mankind once and for all. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been given an opportunity for a fresh start, a clean slate. It's a free gift that's being offered to you. It's a gift. And with every gift, it has to be received. And if you've never received that gift of forgiveness, of a fresh start, a clean slate moving forward, a relationship with a loving Father who wants to help you and for you to experience the best, and not only that, eternal life with him in heaven. If you want to receive that right now, he's offering it to you. How do you do it? Just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you today for that you love me so much that you allow Jesus to come and take my place. I receive the forgiveness that he paid the price for on the cross of Calvary. Today, I ask you to come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I want to begin a relationship with you right here, right now, so that I can spend eternity with you as well in heaven. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just pray that prayer in the comment section, say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer because I want to celebrate with you and rejoice and pray that God will just continue to allow his presence to grow in your life. For many of us today, though, I think this word from James, from the Apostle James, to each one of us is an encouraging word saying, hey, don't just try to feel faith. And don't even just make decisions that express your faith, but put those into action. It's about doing. And we need to do more about what we're deciding to believe God for. And so today, let's close in prayer. Just ask God to help us to do more here in 24. Lord, I thank you today that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And that faith then, when we put it into action, we see the results. So Lord, help us to be doers, not just hearers, to be doers of your word, to be those that trust you, that you're going to bring about the miracles that we need in our life, that you're going to bless us. You're going to bring about the provisions, Lord. You're going to answer our prayers. But Lord, help us to work in the way of putting action behind our words, a corresponding action to what we're asking for. So Lord, make us doers of your word as well. Not just hearers and believers, but doers. And so, Lord, we ask you to do more in our life as we're trusting you for more and following through with action. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.